Welcome to Studio Tulsa on Health. I'm John Schumann, sitting in for Rich Fisher. More than half of all pregnancies in the United States that occur each year are accidental. Shouldn't our healthcare system do a better job of helping women achieve their own goals? That's the lead statement on the website of a young nonprofit organization called Upstream USA, which seeks to improve our healthcare system by training health providers and their organizations to readily offer long-acting contraception to any woman that walks in the door. As a doctor, I know that family planning can fall down the priority list when someone has other health complaints. Upstream's model is to offer technical assistance so that opportunities never slip through the cracks, whether it occurs in the doctor's office, the emergency department, the urgent care center, or public health department. Upstream trains its partners to use two forms of long-acting contraceptive, the intrauterine device, which is extremely safe and vastly underused, and implants, which are small hormone-delivering devices placed under the skin of the upper arm. What's special about these types of birth control is that they are essentially foolproof. No one has to remember to take a pill, get a shot, or use a condom, though that is still recommended to prevent the spread of sexually transmitted infections. And when a woman wants to get pregnant, the IUD or implant can simply be removed and fertility is restored. My guest today is the co-founder of Upstream USA, Mark Edwards. I met him recently in Tulsa at a meeting of the Take Control Initiative, which is a Tulsa-based effort to provide long-acting contraception to any woman of reproductive age. Mark Edwards, welcome to Studio Tulsa on Health. I want to start by asking you just about the scope and scale of your work. And so how many pregnancies, for example, are there per year in the United States?
Sure. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. Upstream USA really focuses on helping women achieve their own goals and become pregnant only when they want to. Believe it or not, there are about, there are about 6.6 million pregnancies overall in the U.S. every year. And approximately 3.4 million of those 6.6 million are actually unplanned pregnancies. And these data come from the women themselves.
Wow. So that right away, you're kind of, I mean, if you don't know these numbers, it's kind of shocking. So more than half of pregnancies are accidental.
That's right. It's right around half, and it's been around that number for really the last sort of 25 years or so. The numbers have not actually improved, which is unfortunate. What that overall total masks, though, is the fact that among upper-income women, the rates of unplanned pregnancy have actually decreased, which means that among lower-income women, rates have actually gotten worse in the last 20 years.
Okay, so how do we know that data based on income? I mean, the same self-reported data, or is it more from big cohort studies or things like that?
Every sort of 5 to 10 years, the CDC administers a big national survey, sort of a statistically significant survey, asking about a whole set of things. This question about pregnancy planning is simply a very small part of it. They've been doing this for a long time. It's a really rigorous survey. And so these data actually come from women themselves. I mean, these are women who actually are asked about their pregnancies in the last year, whether they were intended or not. Within the notion of pregnancy intention is this notion of whether the pregnancy was actually literally unwanted or whether it was what's called significantly mistimed, which means that it came at least 2 years earlier than they had wanted. And so those are sort of the two sub-pieces of what we mean by unplanned. So it's either totally unwanted or significantly mistimed. And these data have really been very consistent over a long period of time, which makes them, I mean, even the more sort of shocking to people who are not familiar with this issue.
We tend, or I made this mistake as well in trying to set up this interview with you, but about teen pregnancy, because that's something we hear a lot about. But in terms of these accidental pregnancies, what percentage of them are in teenagers? This is not the main focus of Upstream USA's work at all.
That's correct. So teen pregnancy, of course, is an issue that we're all concerned about when teenagers get pregnant before they want to. We know that the long-term implications for both the parents and children are poor overall, and we've made real progress in reducing teen pregnancy. Teen pregnancy is actually down about 60% in the last 20 years, and so those numbers have really decreased. That having been said, teen pregnancy rates in the U.S. are still much higher than they are in every other developed country. Really, still, we have way, way too many teen pregnancies. But teen pregnancy is only about 20% of the overall unplanned pregnancy rates in the U.S. As it turns out, the bulk of unplanned pregnancies really occur to single women in their 20s. That's really at the heart of it. When you think about sort of the bell curve. And so, and just as a side note, when you look at teen pregnancies, the vast majority of teen pregnancies are actually pregnancies to 18 and 19-year-olds. So I think there's a lot of discussion, understandably, about 15-year-olds getting pregnant, but it is a very small number. It's really among teens, 18, 19-year-olds, but again, among unplanned pregnancy broadly, 80% of it occurs to women who are more than 19, and most of it is women who are between 20 and 24.
And the focus, I should say, of Upstream USA is really to provide technical assistance on how healthcare providers, and that those are, you know, the doctors and nurses and physician assistants themselves, but also their organizations, can provide LARC, this L-A-R-C, which stands for long-acting reversible contraceptives, to women. Any woman that walks in really gets at least asked if she intends to get pregnant. So talk a little bit, if you will, about the model, what Upstream hopes to achieve with its partners.
A little context first. We talked about the fact that of the 6.6 million pregnancies each year, about 3.4, 3.3 million are unplanned. What we also know from those data, those surveys, is that most of those unplanned pregnancies actually occur to women who are using some form of contraception, but the method they're using isn't working very well. So essentially, they've said to themselves, this is not a good time to be pregnant. I don't want to be pregnant now, but the method they're using doesn't work very well. And a lot of that stems from women who are using the oral contraceptive pill, which, unless one is very good at taking it, really quite, you know, takes it extremely regularly, it's simply not that effective a method of contraception. So there's an interesting article in the New York Times about a year or so ago that looked out at pill users over 10 years. And on average, I mean, you sort of take all those pill users on average over 10 years, a woman's chance of becoming pregnant while on the pill is about 61%. I mean, these are really big numbers, a 61% chance of getting pregnant while you're on the pill. And that's, again, largely because of compliance. I mean, if you're really good at taking it, it's actually a good method of contraception. So what we also know is that there are now new methods of contraception, particularly the new IUDs and implants, that are much more effective, have failure rates that are 20 times less than the pill, that women prefer when they get offered them. They tend to stick with them longer, and they are totally reversible. These are really sort of modern contraception. You place them, you don't need to think about them. You can take them out whenever you want. They are totally reversible. In fact, you return to fertility faster when you've been on the IUD or implant than you do when you're on the pill. So there are lots of reasons why women prefer these methods. But our healthcare system isn't aligned to make these methods easily available. Too often, women are given sort of a false choice, which is they're told, you can get the pill today if you want a contraceptive method, or it'll take you two or three visits to get one of these other new, much more effective methods of contraception. And so that's a tough choice. So some women will say, okay, then I'll take the pill, but unfortunately they'll take it well and they'll come back pregnant. Or they'll say, sure, I'll come back for another visit, and that's an unnecessary visit. And they don't come back for all kinds of reasons, and they come back pregnant. And so really what Upstream USA does is provide technical assistance and training to health centers of all types so that we can change their systems and policies so that women can get same-day access to really the full range of contraceptive methods. Our goal is really to ensure that women really have choice, that they can, they're given proper information, and they are given the chance to really choose from the broad range of methods. Now, what we know is that when women are given that choice and really given good counseling and they understand the various efficacy rates of different methods, overwhelmingly they will choose IUDs and implants for themselves because these are, again, modern contraceptive methods. These are the methods that OBGYNs themselves use for themselves. I mean, these are just modern contraceptive methods that really are effective. So our goal is really not to push long-acting reversible contraceptive methods at all. It's simply to say women should have a real choice.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa on Health. I'm John Schumann, sitting in today for Rich Fisher. My guest is Mark Edwards. He's the co-founder of Upstream USA, which is really trying to change healthcare so that all women have the widest array of choice on contraceptives. We learned already that more than half of all pregnancies are unplanned in the United States. And Mark Edwards, you were telling us really, I was sort of shocked also by the statistic you gave that over 10 years, women who take the oral contraceptives, that is the birth control pill, about 61%, you said, get pregnant sometime over the 10 years?
Accidentally pregnant, yes.
Accidentally pregnant.
Yes, it's a sort of a culmination of looking at what's known as typical user failure rates. In other words, with perfect use, the numbers are significantly less than that, but the truth is that among pill users, very few people really are perfect users, and typical users skip days, skip weeks, they go off, they go on, and as a result, it is one of the large contributors to unplanned pregnancy in this country.
Okay, and so you've mentioned, for example, obstetrician gynecologists prefer IUDs and implants. So let's take us through those. So an IUD is an intrauterine device. I guess, how does it work?
So as you said, you're right. The IUD is simply short for intrauterine device, and some listeners may remember, 40 years ago, there was an IUD here in the market, here in the U.S., called the Dalcon Shield. And for all kinds of reasons, it was a disastrous introduction. Really, some terrible, terrible things happened as a result. And so the IUD as a category of contraception really lost favor here in the U.S. Though in many other countries, including many Western European countries, the IUD is actually the contraceptive method of choice, sort of the default method. But here in the U.S., it was really a disaster. And so our use of this method in this country is actually really quite low compared to many other countries. So within the IUD category, you actually have a couple of different devices. One is one that uses a hormone. There's another IUD which has no hormones at all. It's known as the copper IUD. So there's lots of choice in there. The implant is really a matchstick-sized rod which gets placed inside the muscle in your arm, and it simply gets placed there as if it literally gets implanted there. It just sits right underneath the skin. It releases hormones slowly, and you know, with both methods, they use much lower doses of hormones than you get with the oral contraceptive pill, and so they are highly effective methods. They essentially work perfectly well. In other words, you essentially really can't get pregnant while you're using these methods. They require no user interface, so they're simply placed there. And again, they can be taken out at any time. So it's just a, you know, I mean, honestly, I think about this in the same way that, you know, perhaps, I don't know, many years ago we used to use leeches to, you know, extract blood, and now we have much more modern ways of extracting blood, or, you know, now we have airbags instead of just simply seatbelts. This is simply modern contraception. It's what many women want themselves. These are preferred methods when women get offered them, but just too often they aren't even offered them.
Why do you think that is? Is it residual from the story of the Dalcon Shield, that people are frightened of IUDs and it's just sort of a cultural thing, or is there sort of a willful neglect or poorness of education in terms of contraceptive methods?
I think there are many reasons why women sort of don't get access to these methods and why they aren't offered. I think that part of it is, as you say, that there is still this lingering memory of the Dalcon Shield introduction, which really was an unmitigated disaster. There is a perception among some healthcare providers that they'll lose money if they offer these methods because they perceive they're expensive. What we've learned is that it's actually not the case. They don't lose money at all, but they haven't done the work. Women aren't asking for these methods, and so the typical interchange may be that they've heard about the pill, they ask for the pill, they get the pill, everyone seems to be satisfied. Yet we know that the failure rate in the pill is really quite high, and so there hasn't been a big demand for them. So there are a bunch of those reasons, but by and large, from the health field perspective, not enough providers are trained to place the methods. I mean, it requires training to do that, and equally importantly, they don't really have systems in place so that they can bill for them properly, code for them properly. They can schedule these conversations for screening. These are sort of the systems pieces that really can get in the way, which often then translate into it takes two or three visits and it's hard to get, and too often it means that women don't really have good choice.
Yeah, so let's focus on that, and that might be more of the prosaic part of your effort, but in fact it's really important because you point out that if, for example, a doctor's office or a health clinic thinks it's going to lose money, they're obviously going to be less incentivized to provide these types of contraceptive products or services to their patients. But in fact, you're saying they don't lose money. And moreover, they need to be set up in a sense to both technically put in the contraceptive device, but also to be able to bill for it. And even though that sounds prosaic, that's very important to the lifeblood of a clinic.
It absolutely is. And our experience has been that most health centers want to do the right thing. They want to practice best-in-class medicine, but they haven't been trained about how to do this. And so, by the way, placing IUDs and implants can be done not just by OBGYNs and physicians. It can be done by advanced practice nurses, midwives. I mean, this is not sort of a specialty that only a certain number of people can do it. So, pediatricians. I mean, there's a whole range of clinicians who can do this. And yeah, I think that in many ways, I think the place where we can add real value is not just in training providers on how to place the methods, because candidly, that is not heavy lifting. I mean, these are not complicated procedures. It really is aligning the healthcare system within the health center so that, again, they can bill for them, code for them, schedule, they can counsel properly, they have good patient education materials. I think the other thing I would say is that part of what we're trying to do is to bring reproductive health into the center of women's health. I mean, believe it or not, many primary healthcare facilities, for a typical woman of reproductive age, she's not asked about whether or not she desires to become pregnant, as a standard part of her care. So she may be there for diabetes, depression, broken arm, whatever she's there for, but no one's asking about pregnancy intention. And too often, those same women who are in the healthcare center are now coming back a few months later accidentally pregnant with a high-risk pregnancy. Had she been asked at that time, are you interested in becoming pregnant in the next year, for example, as a sort of a standard question, that might then kick off the opportunity for a conversation about contraception that otherwise wouldn't have happened. And that really should be just a standard part of women's care. Too often it's not.
So do you have any sense of, I guess, success rate? I mean, have you been able to convert a lot of these health centers into places where a woman can walk in and even not necessarily intending to get long-acting contraception, is able to get it right there on the very first visit without, having to reschedule another visit or that kind of a thing?
We've had some terrific success, and we're really excited about the data that's coming out of this. We have done work now in about half a dozen states, including Texas, Arizona, Ohio, New York, Massachusetts, in a wide variety of healthcare settings, both primary healthcare settings, family planning settings, large federally qualified primary healthcare settings, really the whole variety of adolescent healthcare settings, wide variety. And we're now getting data about the contraceptive method mix that their patients are leaving with before the training and then after the training. And what we're seeing, at our very first client, which was a large health center in Texas, they are now placing four times as many IUDs and implants as they were before the training. Their patients are happier. They are, and they're actually increasing the patient volume because what they found is that the word of mouth has been very positive. Patients are coming and saying, I didn't know about these methods. I love these methods. Let me bring my girlfriends in. And so they've seen sort of, believe it or not, an actually a verifiable increase in patient demand as well. And so it's exciting to see, that kind of a change happen so quickly. And the other piece, which is so rewarding, is that once you change policies in practice, you don't need to constantly come back to sort of retrain. So even though our early clients have had staff turnover, they're still seeing the same change in contraceptive method mix because we've now just changed policies in practice. We're not just simply changing minds. And so it really is an ongoing benefit that doesn't require additional resource.
So, Mark, let's say that somebody listens to this show and they say, hey, this sounds really promising and I'd like to be able to offer this to the women in our patient population. How does one go about, partnering with Upstream USA?
Well, the most important thing they can do is to go to our website, which is upstream.org, and there we have a lot of information about how we work and where we work and sort of how to contact us and stuff like that. As an organization, we are very committed to, helping women achieve their own goals and become pregnant when they want to. And to that end, we really are very interested in working with anybody who is interested in changing contraceptive counseling and care so that women can get access to these modern contraceptive methods that, by the way, are endorsed by the CDC, by the American College of OBGYNs. In fact, just recently, about 8 months ago or so, the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with a committee opinion which said definitively that IUDs and implants are the most effective methods of contraception for all adolescent girls, period. These are the methods of choice that we should be offering first to all adolescent girls. And so this is really just now sort of right in the middle bell curve, just sort of best-in-class medicine. And, we're eager to work with anyone who's interested.
Well, and that's interesting that you say that because I think often there's been a misconception. I know I was raised sort of in medical school to believe that IUDs, that nulliparous women, that is women who'd never been pregnant, really weren't eligible for IUDs, which is certainly not true anymore.
That's correct. I mean, this is just, as medicine changes, things change. And so that's exactly right. These nulliparous women are completely medically eligible for IUDs and implants. And so there's lots and lots of studies done on this. So these, in our view, should really be sort of default. In every other field of medicine, we start with the medicines or devices or tools that are really their best in class. And if for some reason there are issues, then we move on to other opportunities. And so in this area, we feel as well that this should be absolutely one of the choices that women have. And not all women will choose that method, which is perfectly fine. But they should be given that option in a way that's with full information about what we know about the impact and the efficacy of all the various methods.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa on Health. I'm John Schumann, and today for Rich Fisher, my guest is Mark Edwards. He's the co-founder of Upstream, which is an organization devoted to providing contraceptive choice to women of reproductive age. And Mark, you mentioned, I noticed on your website actually, a partnership that looks like it's emerging with like an entire state, the state of Delaware. Can you say more about that?
We're very excited about a partnership that we have with called Delaware Can, which is called Delaware Contraceptive Access Now. We are partnering with the Department of Public Health there to, just a little context, turns out Delaware is actually the state with the highest rates of unplanned pregnancy in the country. It was a surprise to me, candidly, but unfortunately that's where they are. And
Third shocking fact of the day.
Yes. They are very interested in changing that, and there are a whole bunch of historical reasons why that's been the case, but they have asked us to essentially develop a plan to really change the way healthcare is done in the state so that all women of reproductive age, all women, this is all incomes, all races, all women of reproductive age, can get same-day access to the full range of contraceptive methods through essentially any door of the healthcare system. And so as part of this plan, we are going to be essentially training the bulk of the healthcare infrastructure in the state to be able to place IUDs and implants, bill for them, code for them, schedule for them properly. We'll be doing some patient education to make sure that women of the state know about their options and know about where they can get these methods. And it's really an opportunity, I think, to make a dramatic public health impact on the state of Delaware. You know, just if you think for a moment about just the health outcomes from unplanned pregnancy, when women aren't planning to get pregnant, they often don't do the traditional sort of prenatal work because they weren't planning to be pregnant. And so there are important health outcomes that can be benefited. But even beyond that, having children before you plan for them or want them, it's just a challenge. And so I think there'll be even a whole set of other downstream impacts that will come when there are fewer children who are unplanned for or unwanted. And so it's a very exciting initiative, in part because Delaware is such a small state. It gives us the chance to really, again, tackle the entire state and to be able to also look at the evidence on things like Medicaid spending and a whole set of other outcomes, which you can do in a state which is really that size. So I think it's an exciting opportunity for us, and we're thrilled to be partnering with the entire state.
Well, that's really neat. I wanted to shift gears a little bit and just ask you, what are some of the biggest obstacles to Upstream's, you know, plan or business model? I mean, where do you run into trouble?
Well, what's interesting is that people often say to us, oh, you know, you can't do this in a red state. You know, somehow politically, this is too charged a topic. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, you know, the very first health center we did our work in was at a health center in Amarillo, Texas. And I have to say, the medical director of that health center is no different than the medical director at a health center in Massachusetts. I mean, they just want to practice best-in-class medicine. And this is now, again, what the CDC recommends, what the American College of OBGYNs recommends, what the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends. This is just best-in-class medicine. So the bigger challenge is actually not politics or somehow that, you know, the sort of, you know, red state, blue state, or that kind of stuff. It's really not. I think, you know, I think there are a couple sort of major hurdles. One is that just from a sort of capacity point of view, it costs money to train and to change policy and practice in healthcare. So we, you know, we raise our money philanthropically and through mostly from individuals and foundations. And so that is sort of a limiting factor in terms of our own growth. But I will say there's actually increasing demand for our services. We're in conversations in a number of states right now about bringing the same kind of sort of Delaware approach to their state. So there's a lot of interest. I think if anything, there's sort of a funding question about how we can actually sort of finance this kind of large-scale training. But more than that, though, beyond that, I think that we actually have the wind at our backs.
I want to shift gears again and just ask you, how did you come up with really the idea for the organization, or are you personally, how did you get into this line of work?
Well, you know, I mean, I personally, as an individual, have just long been interested in the issue of intergenerational poverty. And I've done a lot of work in early ed for many years. I had started an organization about 7 years ago called Opportunity Nation, which was a coalition of about 300 anti-poverty organizations working on some federal policy. And it was really from that lens that I sort of, stumbled into this area. And I genuinely believe that unplanned pregnancy is one of the major factors that plays a role in intergenerational poverty in this country. And while helping women achieve their own goals and become pregnant when they want to will not solve the problem, it does create, I think, a chance for some white space so that women and children and men can really pursue what they want to. And I think that it's a foundational issue, which is, you know, at the core of a whole set of other sort of downstream outcomes, which I think start in part from the fact that women aren't given the opportunity to really plan their pregnancies as much as they would want to. And so, you know, I think it's that's sort of the lens that I bring to this. But I think ultimately, you know, as a country, we are understandably struggling with abortion in this country. And you can imagine most abortion occurs to women who have unplanned pregnancies. And I think that if we could actually get ahead of that, that would actually be a good thing for lots of people. I don't think anybody actually wants more abortion. And so I just think there are a number of reasons why this is something that I think lots of people can get behind, and ultimately it's really about prevention.
So I want to close with a little thought experiment and ask you, well, first suggest that I really admire the work you're doing, and I think you're tackling a very important corner of the healthcare world with this issue of unplanned pregnancies. But if you could, I guess, broaden Upstream's mission, and I'm certainly not saying you have to, because it's very good to remain focused, but if you could enable further reforms, be it in the type of healthcare you know, that's provided or in the healthcare delivery model, I guess, what direction would you go in?
Well, my own view is that, unfortunately, women's health has been sort of the poor, particularly reproductive health within women's health has been sort of the poor stepchild in the healthcare infrastructure. And my own view is that women's reproductive health really should be at the center of women's health. And so to me, it's unconscionable that women can enter into the healthcare system and this not be sort of a part of the conversation. Too often it's not. So I think that I would love to see that. I also believe that the national conversation that we're going to be having as a country is essentially some version of how do we restore the American dream. I mean, that's really going to be the heart of the presidential election. I think it's the heart of what we're going to be talking about for the next decade or two. I think this ought to be a part of that conversation. I think this is central to it. It's connected to opportunity, educational attainment. And so I think I'd love to see that as part of that. And finally, I think from a policy perspective, we should live in a country where women, all women, have full access to the full range of methods, no matter what healthcare center they go to. And so the idea that many healthcare providers just simply provide a small subset of the contraceptive options and don't make these really modern, much more effective methods available, I think is unconscionable. So those are things that I think would be sort of larger scale change that would really have dramatic ripples and really ultimately allow women to do what they want to do, which is mainly what I'd like my own daughters to be able to do, which is to have children when they want them.
Well, Upstream's mission is to change healthcare so that all women receive the highest quality services and can conveniently access the full range of contraceptive methods, including IUDs and implants. And we were talking today with the co-founder of Upstream, Mark Edwards. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Edwards is the co-founder of Upstream USA. Well, that's our show for today. Studio Tulsa on Health is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. I'm John Schumann, sitting in for Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.